Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
Tie up, you know, the things that we have been teaching in the past few weeks as we prepare to go into some other things in the year. And today and probably next Sunday, I want to speak on building foundational family legacies or family values. Foundational family legacies or values. Amen. When you see a person misbehaving, when you see a person that is uncultured, when you see a person that does not know how to carry himself, hallelujah, often it is first and foremost a family issue. In life, people may eventually meet with wrong friends. They may eventually find themselves in places that the culture may not agree with where they came from. They may find themselves in situations, you know, but let me tell you something. The way a person is raised in the home will affect, are you understanding what I'm saying? Will affect the trajectory of that person wherever he goes. When you see a person, let me tell you something. When you see a person that is stingy, it probably begins from the home. Let me tell you a story. I'm not saying the person is stingy. In fact, the person is not stingy, but the stinginess in a particular area. So let me tell you. In my family, we have the tale of two cities. In my family, I have two surviving younger sisters. So these two surviving younger sisters grew up in, one grew up with one of family from my father's side, and the other one grew up with family on my mother's side. So the one that grew up, I'm going to put myself in trouble. The one that grew up, when they now returned home, after they went to school a little bit, when they returned home, the one that grew up with the family from my father's side, when she cooks, if we used to ask, who is cooking today? If she's the one cooking, we start looking for extra. We go and buy gari. We just know that one, when she cooks, food will not be enough in the house. So we start preparing for extra. I don't want to say any more, but just get it. Praise God. If she's the one cooking, because she went, lived there from when she was like in primary two, primary three, until when she was in secondary school, she returned home. So the basic, you know, thing, certain cultures were already imputed in her. Then we have this, and all of them, all of those my uncles stayed with a lot of people in their house. Then the other one that grew up with my mother's brother, where if she cooks, just know that there will be over surplus. You know, I mean, you must remain. So our prayer all the time is that one that grew up from our mother's brother should be the one too. So how you, the way you grow up shapes many things about you. It shapes many things about you. And so when God institutes the family, part of the reason God institutes the family is that the family is the beginning point of the critical legacies, praise God, of the culture that will be passed on. Are we understanding what I'm saying? Is that's how you're going to pass on a culture. That's how you're going to pass on a culture. So, when God called Abraham in the book of Genesis chapter 12, God said, leave this your father's house, leave, and go to a place that I will show you. Why? Because God wanted to start in another breed. Praise God. God didn't want what he wanted to do to be contaminated by another culture. So God wanted to start. So when you read scripture, you hear things like, you are a peculiar people. You are a holy nation. You are a royal priesthood. All when God is talking in that manner, God works generationally. God doesn't, that's why scripture will say to you, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God works generationally. Everything God is doing with you, he does not intend for it to finish with you. You are part of a relay. You are part of a race. God wants to do something. You are one of the people that God wants to use to bring about what he wants to do. And the way you play your part will affect how those who will come after you will play their part. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So, God raises people, puts people in families so that the people will, through generations, will establish his intentions upon the earth, will establish his plans upon the earth. I want you to be very careful about what you're doing, because I'll just share a few things with us this morning. I want you to be very careful about what you are doing. Because whatever you are doing, you are also passing on that thing to another generation. So the challenges and the problems that you refuse to confront and you refuse to solve in your life today, your children will have to rise up and fight it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When Abraham lived among the Shechemites, the Bible says Abraham planted dug wells. When Abraham passed on, those wells were passed on to Isaac. And the Shechemites fought Isaac over those wells that his father has dug. The thing, if you don't deal with certain things, you will pass on those battles to your children to fight them. You will pass it on. That's why scripture will say to you, train up a child in the way that he will go. And when he grows, he will not depart from it. There is a training that every child must carry from home. There's a training he must carry. Many of the issues that are happening, many of the challenges we face, listen to me. The church is the smallest unit of the society. The family, sorry, is the smallest unit of the society. The church is the vehicle that God uses to establish his intent upon the earth. So listen to this. The church is made up of family. So if something is wrong with family, something will be wrong with church. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? If you don't get family right, you will not get church right. So you must be very, are you hearing what I'm saying? So therefore, you must keep a close eye on what is happening in your family. Because if God is going to impact the world through the church, and he will use people that are in the church, it then means that what happens in the family affects what will happen in the world. Praise God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Recently, I was watching something, and they said that there are certain products that are not, I think they said beans, and they said another particular crop. They said that one that comes from Nigeria are not acceptable on the global market. And they say it's not acceptable because Nigerians use chemicals, heavy chemicals, in preserving those things. So it's not, you can't export it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it is. If you don't put your family right, your family cannot be exported to the global stage. That what God, are you hearing what I'm saying? That what this, I want you to listen to me very carefully. So listen to me. And it begins like this. When they are telling you that your child is misbehaving, don't be saying, why are they fighting my child? Are you hearing what I'm saying? When a child goes to school, or when a child comes to church, and then the Sunday school teachers are saying, this boy is misbehaving, don't say, you're fighting my child. No, that's a wrong response. Already, there is a community that is already pointing out an error. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? And God puts you in a family to prepare you for the world. If you can't survive your family, you will not survive the world. Have you noticed that in your family, God has put all kinds of people? The good, I know some of you don't have that in your family. Let me go to people who have something. Have you noticed that in your family you have the good, the bad, and the ugly? Have you noticed that in your family there are people that are very secretive in your family? They are your brother and your sister, but you don't know what is happening in their lives. Every day you are having breaking news. Have you noticed that if you are up to five in a family, except God helps that family, there will be one person that becomes prayer point. The person becomes, you see, listen to me. God may eventually straighten him out, oh, but there will be a time people will be praying for the person. Do you know that in your family, there's somebody that doesn't respect anybody? He's like that judge. He does not fear man. He does not fear God. He or she, are you understanding what I'm saying? Does anybody have that kind of people in your family? Do you people fight in your family? Do you know that when family fights, when you decide to fight, is worse than when you are fighting somebody outside? It's just that when two of you go out and anybody opposes you, you will join hands to deal with that and then go back home and continue the fighting that you left. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that God created the family to hone you, to work on you, to chisel you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that when he brings you out to the world will not be able to destroy you. So what has not been done in the family will eventually show when you go out there in the world. Praise God. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So I want to speak to us quickly on certain things. And I want to say this, that what you put in your children is more important than what you give to them. And I'm not talking about children necessarily, but what I'm saying is that the way you raise your family is more important than what you put in their pockets. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen to me. My father did his best. My mother did her best. But listen to me. My mother taught me things that, see, even today in pastoring, I'm still working with certain skills my mother put in me. My mother taught me hard work. Yay. How many of you have these mothers that have a problem with you when you sit down? How many of you, when your mother walks in and you're watching TV, you just know you have committed, it's like you have committed a sin. How many of you have that kind of mother? That in your house, you are not supposed, the only time you are resting is if you are sleeping. Do you know up to today, the first one day my mother called me and I didn't pick the call. So when I called her back, I said, Mama, I was in a meeting, that was why I didn't pick the call. She said, oh, okay, no, it's okay. I was surprised when my mother said, it's okay. Because even now, I'm not sure that my mother, even if I'm in a meeting, if my mother wants, are you understanding what I'm saying? Listen to me. One day, I used to sell water. You know, I told you before, I grew up selling, then it was not pure water. So I used to sell water, sell drinks, sell ice cream. Who be ice to sell ice cream? I was selling ice block. You know, so I used to do that. That was the business I grew up. From the age of 6, I started that until I was around 11, 12. So one day, my mother sent me. It was like Easter. So in my mind, it's Easter, I will get a break. We went to church, did everything, came back. I was ready to, you know, just enjoy that week. I just came out of the room. I just saw the cooler I used to carry. They have filled it. My mother said, carry it out quickly, Mark. Easter. I'm telling you. I was carrying and crying. The pain was that as I was going, and we were leaving this tourist building. As I was going, all my friends were playing. It was Easter break. I was the only one carrying this thing. See, it leaves something in you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It leaves a legacy in you. And I grew up, listen, because of the way my mother trained me, the whole world can be against me. I will do what is before me. Because the training I got from my mother, are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? When I talk to people, so listen, There are certain things that, are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen to me. Even if you are blessed, even if you have money, there are certain things that you must make your children go through. Even if you have money, there are certain, by the way, let me say this. I hope you know that your money is not necessarily their money. Your money becomes their money when you are gone. But in the meantime, your money is your money. Praise God. They should earn the right to use your money as they wish. Hear my language well. Your children should earn the right to use your money as they wish. That means that they have a right for certain basic things that you must do as a parent to them. But there are certain things that they must earn the right to use it. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you want to raise them right, so quickly, let me say, share a few things with you that is very critical that you raise children in that direction. Number one, you must raise a family that has a legacy of spiritual walk and life. A legacy of spiritual walk. That is that, listen to me, it is your responsibility to lead your children to Christ. In case you are married to a woman that has not received the Lord, or you are married to a man that has not received the Lord, it is your responsibility to introduce the Lord Jesus to them. It is your responsibility. Let me tell you something. I am excited to tell you that I have personally led my own children to the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it didn't start today. The only person in my house that I didn't lead to the Lord was my immediate younger sister. The moment I got born again, I started praying for her salvation. So I prayed for her, but I didn't lead her to the Lord. After her, the one after her, the last three, I led them personally to the Lord. Personally. So in my family, are you hearing me? In my extended and present family, I have 5 souls to present to Jesus. Listen, stop waiting for church to... Are you hearing what I'm saying? Stop waiting for church. The church is not the first place that your family must take a pattern. Are you hearing me? It is within the family that you build that model. I was sharing with them recently. I said to them, when you go to my house, if the children, if anyone is challenged, they believe in prayer, healing prayer, more than they believe in medication. They will stay at home until they are prayed for. They have seen it work. I shared with you a few months ago, we had these testimonies in the family. The first one was my second son. You know, he has this tooth issue. My family, generally, we have that challenge, extended family. So he had this thing about his tooth. The tooth, he was having double teeth coming and everything. So we went to the hospital with him. That was about 3-4 years ago. If you remember, Dr. Makinde used to be in church. So we went to Dr. Makinde. Dr. Makinde looked at everything. Then Dr. Makinde said, we need to do maybe a surgery and all of that. So they were going on break. So we said, okay, let them go for the break. And when they come back, we'll do the surgery. When I got home, the Holy Spirit said to me, what are you saying? I got the gist. I called him. Laid hands on the tooth. They have already given us the cost, the everything. We are going to buy braces. They went on break. By the time the guy came back, the tooth had arranged. My daughter was still losing her tooth. And so when she lost the milk teeth, the next two that came out, they came out curved from inside. They were curved this way. One day I was in the car with her. We're just driving. She likes following me to church in the morning. I just looked at her. I said, open your mouth. She opened her mouth. I put my hand in the mouth, and I pulled the teeth. Not, it didn't pull naturally at that time. I'm just saying that. I pulled it this way. Pray. I don't know. All I know is that some few weeks later, the teeth has arranged. So these children, are you hearing me? They are not hearing. They are not hearing that miracle happens. They have seen that miracles happen. that prayer works. It's not that they are hearing somebody is telling them that prayer works. You have a responsibility. Listen to me. You have a responsibility. Listen, let me share this with you. Many years ago, when I was in school, I met a man. I've forgotten his name now, but he used to be in Pastor Meduga, and I was in a meeting, and he was sharing about the fact that there's a man that wakes up every day at 2 a.m. to pray for his family. He has like, is it 5 daughters or something? So he wakes up every day, and let me tell you this. If you you're having children, especially if you're having daughters, spend time to pray for them. Spend time to pray for them. Let me tell you, a man will survive. He will find a way to survive. But women go through things that, I'm telling you, if God does not help, you will, and then because of the fact that in the physical, a woman is weak. There are things that when, if your daughter goes through it, whether you are a father or mother, if your daughter is going through it, it will take the peace from you. If your daughter marries a wrong person, it will be pain for you. Even if your son marries a wrong, you will survive it. He will manage himself. But if it's your daughter. So I had that testimony. Then I made it a prayer point. I made it a legacy. Listen to me. To spend time. From time to time, spend time. Many people don't. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Call your wife in. Spend time praying for your children. Bring a prayer cover over their lives. Begin to, are you hearing what I'm saying? Pray for them that they will be saved. Listen to me. Don't take it for granted that they are coming to Sunday school. You'll be surprised. Make it, are you hearing what I'm saying? You see an attitude in a child, take it up as a matter of prayer. Sit that child down. Deal with it from scripture with him or with her. Don't just say, they are children, they are going to outgrow it. You'll be surprised. Hallelujah. Build a spiritual legacy. Second Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. Listen to me. Your children will become what they see more than what they hear. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Children grow up to copy. They copy you. You can say anything you are saying. They will do what they see you do. And let me tell you something. The parents are the number one mentors of children. It's an unspoken thing. That's why you wake up one day, you just see your children wearing your shoe, you see your children wearing your clothes, you see your children acting like you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Unconsciously, you are modeling something for them. I had the story of a girl who one day, her father, you know, this man that bring women home, you know, her father brought one girl home and they were on break. So, the father brought one girl home, and in the morning, the father left for work and left the woman he brought in his room. The children didn't know. So, the girl went to the father's room to go and do something and met the woman in her father's bed, and the woman was her class teacher. I hope you know that. Except they changed that class. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. That girl, every day the girl comes home, is trauma for her. She sees her father is trauma. She goes to school, is trauma. So Paul wrote, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. I love that word, unfeigned. That is faith that is not, that you are not hiding it. Praise God. He said the unfeigned faith, the true, it was true. It was a sincere faith. The unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that it is also in thee. That means that there was a way, there's a way that family served God. There was a way that family served God. A legacy of spiritual work. See, listen to me. Your children don't have to become pastors, but they have to be spiritual. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your children don't have to become this one and that one, but they must be people who know God, fear God, and have a walk with God. You must make it the first and the primary thing. It's more important than getting good grades in school. Because a child that is brilliant and does not know God is just a sophisticated criminal. Number two, you must build within your children a legacy of honor and the fear of God. They must honor God and they must fear God. If you read Jeremiah chapter 3, 35, verse 6 to 7, you hear the story of the Rechabites. Let's have it. Jeremiah 35 from verse 6. Jeremiah 35 from verse 6. Quickly, media. But they said, okay, let's go back from verse 1. 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 The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go unto the house of the Rechabites. So the Rechabites were a particular family. They were not a tribe. They were a particular, they are called Rechabites because their ancestor, their great-great-grandfather, his name was Rechab. Are you hearing me? Over time, they were now called the Rechabites. So go unto the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. This is Jeremiah now. And brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God. That is, they took them to a man of God's house, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber. Yes, the keeper of the door. Let's go to verse 5. And I set before the sons of the house of Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine. Now listen to me. That Jonadab is talking about has died. They passed on. They're not talking about our father is alive. Oh. They are talking about their ancestors that they didn't meet. We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. It was a prophet of God. Took them to the house of God. Took wine and gave them. And said, I'm a prophet. And by the way, it was not that wine was wrong for them to drink at all. He said, I'm a man of God. I am in the temple with you. I am saying, don't worry yourself. Drink wine. If it is wrong, let God count it on my head. This was what they said. They said, ye shall drink no wine, neither your sons forever. Next verse. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he had charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, and our daughters. Listen to me. Let me tell you this. The intention of God is to raise. God wants the manifold wisdom of God, the multi-colored wisdom of God, the different fragrances that is in God to be represented on the earth. Your family is supposed to be one of the family that will raise one of those fragrances. So there are things that it is through you. We are supposed to receive. We are supposed to see your own family, and then something comes out of it that becomes an addition to the earth. Do you know that many of the major companies in the world was begun as family business. Family business. So when you hear God saying to Abraham that through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. There's something God wants to do through you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know, we have in scripture, one man called Lot. You know, they also contributed to the earth. Praise God. They also contributed to the earth. When Lot went to Sodom, are you hearing me? The children grew up in Sodom. And they learned the ways of Sodom. Are you getting me? When they ran out of Sodom, Sodom was still inside them. Wherever they went, they reproduced Sodom. Can I say something to you? Let me share this with you. Sometimes there are schools you should not take your children to. You know, we live in a time that parents use school to show the level and the class they are in, forgetting the soul of the child you have sent to that school. Can I say something? We used to celebrate boarding school before. Are you hearing me? But what is coming out of that place? What internet has introduced into that system? And I'm not saying boarding school, you should not take a child to boarding school, but check it well. Check it well. Let me even say this, that it's good to send your children abroad, but send them when they have become grounded. These days that children are graduating from school 16 years, 15 years from secondary school, then you take that kind of child and then you send them somewhere, you'll be surprised what will come back. Next week, I'll share certain things with you. Let me tell you something. EQ is more important than IQ. Emotional intelligence is more important than whatever. Many children are doing well in school, but they are stupid concerning life. Because, and you know what? Parents have decided to use their children to correct their own errors. You didn't go to school, so you have now made it that your child must become a professor. Whether his destiny is connected to it or is not connected to it, you want to correct the mistake that was made on you. You want to use your child to correct it. You use parents use children to fight battles. Destroying a destiny, pushing into the future, something that will go and become a problem to society in the future. The mistake of Lot manifested itself in his children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally, raise a family that have the legacy of hard work and enterprise. Raise a family that has a legacy of hard work and enterprise. Hallelujah. There's a new culture now. I don't know whether you have heard of it. Gen Z are saying that they don't want to work again. That they don't feel that they have to walk. You know, it started from this COVID that they started doing work from home and all of those work, all that kind of work. You understand what I'm saying? Now it has developed to, we don't even want to work. Why must we work? It has now developed that you employ a person to an office, and the person wants to determine the terms of how he works in the office. When I see the trends that are coming, I join those people to say, Jesus, come quickly. Because there's a world that is coming. Are you here? There's a world. I'm afraid for that world that is coming. He said that they think that you can't give them terms of reference. You can't give them work schedule. You know why? You want me to give you results? I'll find my way to give you the result. I don't have to do it your way. Listen, are you hearing what I'm saying? I look at scripture. There is no body in scripture, including Jesus, that didn't work. Including Jesus. There was, in fact, let me tell you the Jewish approach to work actually was that whatever your father is doing, that is what. So you actually go to school, your father is your teacher and your lecturer. So people grew up, are you hearing what I'm saying? So people grew up. So if people in every sector, there were people who were serving, working, they were being groomed from childhood through that sector. So how can you teach your children hard work when you are not working? Let me say this. No work is not true. Can I say it again? I don't have work is not true. Please, especially young men, listen to me. There's nothing like I don't have work. I don't have the kind of work I want is true. But I don't have work is not true. T.D. Jakes said he was in ministry, he was pastoring. The church did not have sufficient to support him and his family. So during the daytime, he was a laborer. He dug ditches. He was teaching. He said, people think that I got anointing because I was praying. He said, no, I didn't get anointing. He said, I was digging ditches. In the afternoon, he was digging ditches. He worked in a mortuary, washing dead bodies so that he can take food home. I don't have the kind of work I want can be true. There is no work. It's not true. It's not true. Differentiate the two. And listen to me. I was teaching one of the class recently. I said how you come into your purpose is that the first level of coming into your purpose is whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. In other words, your hands must be finding something to do. That was why on Thursday, when somebody asked the question that if somebody has a vision, should you not marry the person if he has a vision? Every vision begins somewhere. Every vision begins somewhere. Every vision begins somewhere. When I was when God called us to come and start this work, we raised, because I was pastoring somewhere, so there are things I couldn't do. So I went into livestock. In my house, I was raising sheep to sell, to raise money to come and start ministry. I'm a printer. That's my business. I'm into publishing. That's my business. I did publishing. I printed books for people. I will go do my work in the office in the daytime. I will come back at night. I sleep 1 a.m., 2 a.m. I'm editing, I'm designing, I'm everything. There is no work, it's not true. There is no kind of work I want to do, it's true. Start with what is available first, and then move into what you desire. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with the whole of your heart. Whatsoever thy hand findeth, what can your hand find to do now? Are you hearing what I'm saying? In fact, I teach people something, you know, I tell people something. You don't have work. Go to a place where people are working and tell them, is there anything I can do for you? Go to a company, go to one organization, say, I don't have anything to do. I have time on my hands. Is there anything I can do for you? If you do that, there is no way you will close. After 1 week, the man will not give you transport money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is no way the man will not give you transport money. You sit down at home, you are sleeping. You say, I don't have work. My son, I said, what do you want to do? He said, he likes business. I said, okay. I sent him to one shop to go and be carrying people's things. So when he's on break, he walks. There's a supermarket he walks. So recently, my wife was telling me that they sent his salary. So I said, whose salary? That the place where he's working, the man gives him something every month. I said, I sent him to go and learn. Why is he giving him money? I said, go and learn. There is no way you will serve somebody well that they will not bless you. Start from there first. Are you hearing? There must be a legacy of service. If you don't train your children to work, you will be in your old age. You'll be sending them money for food. You don't understand. Your daughter will be pregnant or your son's wife will be pregnant. You will have to pay the bill. I was told of somebody that was 45 years. He was still asking his parents for money to buy WAEC phone. 45. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Teach them, are you hearing me? Teach them the legacy of work and enterprise. Work and enterprise. God will bless the work of your hands. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If your wife has a grace, encourage the grace. Encourage the grace. Encourage the grace. Do what? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your wife has a grace. Encourage the grace. She can play tear, open saloon. If you can't open the saloon, get a shop somewhere. Let her be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. A woman that doesn't have work, na wahala, na problem. All the gossip that is taking place in that area. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Build a legacy. It begins from you. One day, my father lost his job for 10 years. He was suspended and then for me so many things. So one day I was preaching. So I was saying, my father didn't have a job for 10 years. After I finished preaching, one of my father's friends was in the meeting. He called me. He said, there was never a time your father didn't have work. It's just that you didn't know that he was working. The way he spoke, I now remembered that period, I used to see my father with a pickup van. He used to come in the night. But I was a child, so I didn't really know what was happening. My father became a transporter. He would go get some of the business was not straight. They were bringing, you know, he was a custom officer, so they will enter Cameroon and bring, but you know, they can't stop him at the border. So, but he was walking. He was walking. He told the man, he said, there was never a time
your father was not working.
So I used to remember, just when he spoke, I now remember, my father used to give me money for transport to school. My father used to, you get my point, he must be getting money somewhere. So what he did was that he and a couple of his friends, he had the connection with the, you get my point? Somebody had the pickup van, because we knew the man that had the pickup van. And so they now formed a small... Are you honest? He said, he called me after the service. He said, there was never a time your father was not working. Don't see, you're a man. Don't sit down. See, even if there's nothing to do, go out of the house. Go, take a zag and go akadao. Don't let your wife wake up in the morning, see you lying down. She will go and do something and come back. You are not on leave. You are not taking. And she went out and she came back. When she came back, you just shifted the bed. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. You don't have to earn at the level of your wife, but earn something. Earn something. It's part of the dignity of manhood. Before, let me tell you something. As I was meditating on this, the Lord told me something, sir. He said that in the home, whose responsibility is it to actually prepare the food? He said, the Lord told me, it's cultural. It's a cultural expectation. It's not a scriptural expectation. Because the day Eve appeared, there was food. Let me run away before I. This, now that you are clapping, let me run. Let me run. Because right now, you know part of the problem in this service right now? 50% of the women are thinking of lunch. Pastor, may Pastor finish quickly today. May Pastor, because they are thinking of, I need to go and prepare food. And let me not say something because that woman, you went out to work together. In fact, she woke up before you, prepared the children. There's a man close to you, say, how bad now? If there's a man close to you, say, how bad now? That's why I told you on Thursday. Women are the only people that have the privilege of being women in this life. Because they are called woman. There is a man in every woman. When we get to heaven, we'll be the same. So only women have the privilege that when you become in God creates you as a woman, God has found you faithful, capable, able to do certain things in this life. I am telling you, an average modern day woman is doing 3 times what an average man is doing. Go and check it. Go and check it. And I believe that men are supposed to also cook, not only women. Because you will discover that even the best cooks in life are men, not women. Because we were not hungry before they showed up. We were eating before they showed up. So man was actually the first chef, not a woman. If we didn't do anything, at least we're doing fruit salads. If you receive that word, can you stand to your feet? Let us pray. So it's not a sin for you to cook, sir. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong for you to cook. I don't know what you've received this morning, but I want you to pray. I don't know what you have received this morning, but I want you to pray. Just lift up your voice and pray. Maybe you are seeing something missing. Maybe you are seeing something that is missing, something that is out of place in your own assignment, in your own house, in the area that God has called. I want you to pray that God is going to give you grace. That God is going to give you grace. That God is going to give you grace. that God is going to do, that God is going to supply grace in that area. Some people need to do course corrections. Things have already gone bad. They've already, but God is a redeemer, is a restorer. He is the one that corrects things. That God will begin to give you capacity to correct, to make adjustments where it needs to be done. That there will be course corrections. That God will begin to give, that God will give you grace. Thank you, Father. Father, we bless your name tonight. We exalt you. We thank you because the entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding to them who are simple. We bless you because you are able to do exceeding abundant and above all that we could ever ask or think. Today I ask in the name of Jesus that this word that we have received will begin to effect changes in our lives and in our families. It will bring forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Our light will shine before men and your name will be glorified. We return praise to you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.